From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
This is Jim Williams with you. Steve Ryman will be back with you tomorrow. Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition, the president and founder. How are you, Carla?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Well, I'm so glad to see you, and I'm so glad that I'm going to get to interview you on a regular basis. We're going to try to do this about every 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
And I want to make sure we time that. There's some very timely things going on. You were just on with Steve Ryman last week. And you're talking about some of these issues. And Carla, the reason I wanted to get you back in so quickly is because I want to set the baseline for getting people to take action and why you think that's so important. But let me give everybody a little bit more background. And we've talked about this before, but you cannot say it enough. A lot of times people like to read your website while we talk to you. So I want to give people nmbizcoalition.org. So nmbizcoalition.org. That's the New Mexico Business Coalition, NMBC. It's a nonpartisan voice for business owners, employees, and individuals in New Mexico. Created and staffed by native New Mexicans, they believe our state can do much better than current national ratings reflect. You mean you can do better than last?
I think we can.
An advocate for all businesses and individuals. And by the way, there's just as many Democrats that own businesses as Republicans and independents. So you really are bipartisan.
Absolutely.
In your approach.
Say nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan.
Because,
okay.
Yeah, because it's not just the two major parties, but there's the libertarians and everybody else.
Well, I also want to mention, because this is a big part of what we're going to talk about today, the mission of Better Together New Mexico is to enrich the lives of all New Mexicans. You do this through promoting public policies based on the principles of less government, individual freedom, free enterprise, and traditional American values. You don't work on behalf of any special interest or political party. Your commitment is to the people of New Mexico. BetterTogetherNewMexico.org. Now, before we go into you talking a little bit about, more about what you do, is I want to talk about why we're here today. There's a little known legal opportunity citizens in New Mexico have to fight against legislation passed by the New Mexico legislature by what is called referendum. And there were several bills that were passed. And in the recent legislative session, you had a chance to talk about these last week with Steve Ryman, but I would like to start the program by you kind of going over those, because people might not realize by referendum, you don't have to accept what the legislature did.
That's right.
Because a lot of stuff that the representatives do at the legislature doesn't actually represent their constituents. And you would say that about your position, and I would say that about my position.
Yes, that's very true.
So why don't you summarize some of those bills, and then we'll talk about each referendum. We have an hour together, so we're going to be able to talk about this in great detail.
Good. There were a lot of bills that were very concerning. And, you know, we had, during the process, tens of thousands of emails and phone calls made to legislators saying, we don't want that. Stop that process now. And they didn't listen, and they passed it. So then we had these same tens of thousands of people notify the governor asking her not to sign it and make it law. And that didn't happen either. And she signed it. It became law. And so we have the right in our state constitution to take on the referendum process. And that is a process of getting enough signatures to get these bills put on the ballot. And it'll be the ballot in 2024, the next major election that we have. But if you look at some of these bills, there are five of them that we have referendums on right now, and we're taking signatures. First one, House Bill 7, Reproductive and Gender-Affirming Health Care. What this does is it allows a person, a very young person, to decide if they want to have an abortion or to change their gender without notifying their parents.
So these are, say, high school students. These are people under 18 years old, can make a decision about changing their gender without ever having their parents involved. And somebody at a public school is going to be required to send you to some type of gender transformation training or counseling.
And therapy.
If you even talk about this at school.
That's exactly right. And we're talking, Jim, I know this is shocking, but children as young as 8 years old, as soon as they're in the public school system, if Johnny wants to become Susie or Susie wants to become Sam, they can do that. And they just talk to somebody in the school. The school personnel are not allowed by law when this goes into effect to notify the parents that the child is even struggling with this decision or contemplating that. But they will, in fact, help the child then go to resources to start that transitional process. And the parent's not going to know. So the child then can be put on hormone therapy to change their sex. This is going to change the child permanently. And one of the saddest things that we have found is that the suicide rate for people that are transitioning is much higher than the national average. So you have a child that was brought into this world by two loving parents who can't even know their child is going through this. It's just not right.
Well, and you think about someone under 18 years old and the general decisions that they make about anything. Going to a certain party or not, or driving too fast, or
what outfit to wear for the day.
And so now we're talking about these are life-changing, you can't take it back kind of decisions, especially if you're mutilating your body in some way and having operations. And that even includes, what do they call it, where it's not a physical operation, but it's a medical surgery type thing, or a drug surgery. I don't know what the term is, formal term, but you, anytime that you are introducing foreign hormones and stuff, you know, male hormones into a female, vice versa, you're going to create some problems. I've read that there's actually data that people are involved in right now. I think the sample size they have now is about 10 years, so they want to have a little bit more data, but that people that are trying to do this type of thing to their body are shortening their lifespan, their expected lifespan by 20 to 25%. Because the bottom line is that's not the way you were made. That's not the way you were created. And those are not easy changes to make. You can't just be whatever sex you want.
That's right. And it causes conflict within the body physically. And I think that causes the turmoil. And when you look at a child, because we're talking children that are under the age of 18, when they are making a decision to change their gender, there's a lot going on in their life at that time. You can remember, I know for me it was back in the Stone Ages, but I can remember being that age and how confusing life was anyway. Now, I never had thoughts about changing my gender, but I understand why kids, young people are often very confused at that time. And who they need most in their life is their parent to talk to. And this law actually will forbid that. The school personnel will be violating the law if they notify the parents that this is going on. This law, when it goes into effect, it has been signed by the governor, but it also covers reproductive health care, which is otherwise known as abortion.
Has nothing to do with reproduction. It's actually the opposite of reproduction.
Exactly. But if you have a daughter that's 12 years old that wants or needs to get an abortion as a parent, would you not want to know what happened to that child? Was it rape? Was it incest? Is she having relations? I mean, what is going on in that child's life? The parent is not allowed to know. Not to know what has happened to her and not to know that she is going to have an abortion.
So this is which bill?
This is House Bill 7.
So this is House Bill 7. And it's the Reproductive and Gender Affirming Health Care Act, actually passed by the legislature this past session.
Yes.
And signed by the governor. Now, we're talking about all of these today, and we're going to go into more details about that, but we got to kind of review all of them, and we'll try to get through these quickly, because there's a lot to talk about.
There is.
And but I want people to have that perspective that your rights as a parent are being completely eliminated.
That's right.
And if somebody goes through life and they want to change their gender or go, I don't actually believe you can change your gender, but if they want to go through the processes that are available today, you're not trying to make that illegal. You just want the parents involved.
That's right. When they're an adult, they can make that decision on their own. But when they're not an adult, it is the parent's responsibility to know what's going on in their child's life. Now, mind you, the way the law is right now, if we have a child that's in public school and they want an aspirin or Tylenol or whatever, the parent has to provide permission for that. This is how drastically the law is being changed. We recently spoke with some people from APS. They were unaware that this had even passed, but they were in they're employed by Albuquerque Public Schools to help children that are confused about issues. If they had a child that came to them and said, you know, my name is Tom, but I want you to call me Jane, or if he just said, I want to be called George, they had to notify the parent and get the parent's permission to call that child by a different name. Now we're talking about not only can they not do that, the child can change their gender, have an abortion, and the parent will not know.
A lot more details we're going to get into, but I'm kind of trying to force us to go into the others because there's basically five referendums.
Right.
And we need to make sure that we talk about all of these because you are going to tell us how our listeners can get involved with signing the petition, and you're going to tell us why that's important. And so I'm hoping our listeners will stay with us. So let's try, even though we are tempted to talk about the details, we'll go through each one of these one by one. Tell me about SB 397.
Those are school-based health centers. So the goal of the state is to put a health center into every school so that a child that is making these decisions.
So it's related to HB 7.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
They would go right to that health center. Now, the health center is not going to actually provide the services, but they would be there then to provide the counseling and arrange for the child to have the abortion or to start the transition. So they'll be right there at the school. They don't have to go any further than that. And that is how they are protecting the child, they say, and eliminating the right of the parent to know.
And so, by the way, these first two bills all have to do with people that are under 18 years of old.
Yes.
Age of old. Wow, what am I even talking about? Of age. And they are going, the people passing these bills, including our governor who has signed each one of these and approved them, is ignoring any ability for the parents to speak into this child's life. HB 207, what is that?
So House Bill 207, that one's not ready with a referendum right now, but this is important. Okay. It's the expansion. It says expand Human Rights Act scope. This expands our Human Rights Act to the point where it is now telling churches and other employers basically who they can employ, whether or not the person shares their beliefs. So for example, if you have somebody that is not a Christian, not a believer, and they want to be on staff here at Calvary, it's not a good mix, and it's not going to be productive either for the staff or for that person or for the church. But this law is going to prevent the church from having any say in that.
Yeah, crazy. SB 13, reproductive health provider protections.
This goes with the first two.
Again, reproductive is a totally deceiving. This has nothing to do with reproduction. This has to do with ending reproduction, right?
That's exactly right. And so this is protecting the health providers. So if they are not licensed in New Mexico, they can still perform abortions here. But it's also of concern with our children again, because if you've got predatory practices going on, if you have somebody in the school telling children that this is a good thing, that they have intercourse, they can get abortions, or they can change their gender, and that's predatory because this child is having their opinion shaped. But anybody that's involved with that child in taking care of those procedures is protected by law. So if that provider goes to the child or takes care of the child in any way, the parents have nothing to say about it again. This is parental rights all the way through.
Carla, I have to say this. I don't know everything about children, but I have five of them, and they're all grown up. And for children to be sexualized or even know about these issues by the time they're 8 years old, that's the problem.
Yes.
They shouldn't be. They don't have hormones. They don't have stuff going on in their bodies that's, you know, stimulating the prurient interest, if you might call it that. But when you're seeing images and you're online and you're seeing all the social media, everything has to do with the way you look and mm-hmm. your self-image. And then you start posting things and you get criticized. That's what's causing all the confusion. And there's tons of data about this.
Yes.
Does everybody just ignore that? That's for these bills?
You know, that's what's confusing, because when we talk to them during the process about how these bills were a problem for the child and the parent in particular, they didn't want to hear it. And there were times when they would literally cut the person off from testifying during a committee because they don't want to hear it. Sometimes the truth hurts when you don't believe it or you don't want to believe it. They don't want the truth to get in the way of their agenda. And these are all agenda items. Governor said she's going to do it. The legislators, many of them said they were going to support it. And they all came through on this issue. Parents should be outraged that yes. their rights are being violated like this.
And you can't, you believe there is a referendum law right now on the books in the state of New Mexico that will allow New Mexicans to speak up, come forward, and to change what was dictated.
Yes, because they didn't listen during the legislative process.
Yeah.
We have another round of opportunity to make that happen.
So in addition to all of these bills that have to do with underage children and sex and abortion and gender identification, now there's two more referendums, and those have to do with voting rights, HB 4.
Mm. Tell us yes, about that. Voting rights protections. What's happening with these two bills just in general? If we don't have good, solid control over our elections, that they're safe and secure, we cannot elect the people that we want to get elected. Now, if we elect the right people, we're not going to have to deal with these parental rights issues, right?
Right.
So House Bill 4 expands voting rights. It gives voting rights back to felons. I'm all for second chances after they have completed their sentence. This never takes away a felon's right to vote.
So they'll be just voting for you commit a murder, you go to prison, and you vote in the next election. That's a bizarre concept.
They say they have not figured out a way to let them vote in prison, but they won't take away the right. And if they are currently convicted and serving time, when they step out, they get their rights back before they've wow. done probation. Now, the other thing, and this is really very concerning, anybody that goes into any state agency or does business with a state agency by computer online, if they are not registered to vote, they are going to be run through a system and that'll be checked. And if it's found that they're not registered, they will be registered to vote without their knowledge and without their consent. 30 days after that fact, they will get a postcard in the mail saying you have been registered to vote. If you don't want to be registered, you can start the process to take your name off the voter rolls. This is a big violation of rights. Mm. Voting is really important, and I encourage everybody to be registered and to vote. It's critical right now, especially for believers. But I do not believe it is the government's right to register someone without their consent or without their knowledge.
SB 180.
SB 180, that's an interesting one. It's an administrative changes to the election code. There were a couple of little minor good changes in there, but for the most part, big, broad, hundreds of pages in this bill, it is taking away our right as citizens to verify the results of elections. So if we have a question about how the election was handled, or we think there might need to be a recount or anything like that, we are going to be prohibited from getting involved in that process. They are taking away the citizens' right to be involved in the election process. The Secretary of State will dictate who can show up. You know, you've got people that show up at the polls to help people and to witness what's going on and, you know, just to be observers. She's going to take away the right of people to decide who does that, and she will decide.
And again, Carla, each of these bills, I'm going to mention them again. HB 7, Reproductive and Gender-Affirming Healthcare. SB 397, School-Based Health Centers, which allows people to counsel your children without your permission about the issues of HB 7, reproductive or abortion and gender-affirming so-called health care. SB 13 is the Reproductive Health Provider Protections. And then you go to HB 4 and SB 180, which are election. Each one of these, you are trying to get people to be involved in getting rid of these so-called laws. And they are actually going to take effect. But if you are successful in your referendum campaign, and you're going to have tables at churches and everything else. So Carla Sontag is the founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition. And we're going to talk about the role of NMBC and of Better Together New Mexico and your local church and business and others who are helping get petitions signed. But it's a kind of a detailed process. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back with Carla Sontag right after these messages.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
We're back with Carla Sontag. She's the founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition, and she's also part of Better Together New Mexico. Carla, before we let you talk a little bit about those two organizations, you really believe that all people, regardless of your political party, regardless of your faith, we can get along and do the best thing for each other in our state. You believe that, don't you?
Oh, I do. I think New Mexicans have the best heart and best intentions. And I think they just haven't been recognized well. And I think that we can do better about recognizing that. And as a state, coming together and finding a better path forward for all of us.
So talk to us about the New Mexico Business Coalition. Are you looking for people with certain party affiliations? And are you querying them? They have to believe exactly what you think in order to join?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, we absolutely love debates and conversations because groupthink gets you in trouble. And so we encourage any business owner and individuals. We're a business organization that has a lot of individuals that don't own a business. They're involved because they love what we do on business policy. And we encourage them to stay engaged because they make a difference, just like every single person in this state can.
Well, I know how hard you and Larry worked during the before and after. This is after the legislative session. Tell us a little bit how some of the grassroots campaigns and things you've done have helped our state.
Well, you know, we specialize in getting information out to people that we feel they need to know. And so if they agree with us and they want to take action, we make it really easy for them. We do calls to action, take them about 30 seconds to voice their opinion. So when I mentioned earlier that we've got tens of thousands of people communicating with legislators, that's going through our system. It takes them 30 seconds and they're communicating with anywhere from maybe 9 legislators on a committee, or maybe the entire House, maybe the entire Senate, just with a few clicks. Now, they can change the message however they want, use the message that we've got in there, however they want to communicate. The important thing is it's programmed to go where it needs to go, and they don't have to worry about that. They can say what they want to say. And so we encourage people to do that, and they certainly don't have to use our messaging.
So you go to NMBIZ coalition.org, and you can click on calls to action. Now, these are really prevalent before elections and before the legislative session. I don't actually think you have a call to action. Do you have a call to action right now, or do you direct people to Better New Mexico for this referendum?
Better Together is working on the referendums.
Okay. So, and but I want people to understand, if you go to the NMBC, New Mexico Business Coalition website, you can see the calls to action. And Carly, you'll describe an issue. And then you'll say, if you want to fight against this particular thing, click here. And based on your IP address and your address, a zip code, it's going to go right to your legislative representatives, your legislator. And you're going to be able to communicate. And it's really easy to change the message.
It
works right on your browser, and you can go in there and add something or take away or whatever.
Right.
And you can communicate. You click a button, and it goes to them automatically. So you've made that really simple. Tell us about Better Together New Mexico.
So Better Together New Mexico is a project of the Business Coalition, and it came about 2.5 years ago when I realized that we needed more firepower. We needed to unite New Mexicans in a bigger way. And so we started inviting like-minded groups to join under this umbrella organization. And it has been amazing. I thought if we got 50 groups together, we'd be doing well. We have 140 groups that have come together, locked arms, and are working on these issues. They may not all care about business. Some of them are just about life. Some are about Second Amendment rights. It doesn't matter. If they are like-minded, that they think New Mexico can do better, we say, come on into this group and let's do it together.
Well, and you're really just trying to have literally everybody together, regardless of your affiliations. It could be regardless of your religious views, regardless of your political views. We're in business. We all have families. We want to protect our children.
Yes.
And do a lot of people of differing faiths and different socioeconomic backgrounds and different ethnicities, do they agree together?
Oh my gosh, yes. We have, through these groups and outreach, to over 280,000 New Mexicans. And so it reaches the wide gamut of every ethnicity, every financial background, every educational background. Political affiliation does not matter to us. I know we have some of the groups that have come together that are managed by Democrats, some by Republicans. We've got Libertarians, Independents, DTS. We don't care. If you're like-minded and you think New Mexico can do better, come on in and let's do it together. And it has been phenomenal.
And the funny thing to me is, Carla, and I was joking about it earlier, but it's really not a joke, is we are literally at the bottom of almost every category. Maybe not last, but we're at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Like we're very close to last or second to last in education.
Yes.
And I am going to say this, and it's not very nonpartisan of me to say this, but there has been an incumbent party in power in our state primarily, even when we've had a Republican governor.
Mm-hmm.
There has been one party that, in my opinion, has controlled the legislature, controlled the state Senate, and controlled many of the educational unions and associations in our state. We're last in education. So when does the coach get fired on this one?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And now what's even worse is that majority party has been taken over by a group. They call themselves progressive, and they're progressing in a direction that is against what the average New Mexican believes. And I don't care what party you're in. They're even against the Democrats, the Republicans, Independents. They have their own agenda. And it is not the agenda most New Mexicans want to see in place.
We're with Carla Sontag. She's the president and founder of the New Mexico Business Coalition. We're talking about the referendum to change several laws that the governor signed, laws that were passed in the most recent legislative session. When we come back, we're going to ask Carla the process of signing the petition for the referendums, and then we're going to get into more meat and potatoes on each one of these referendums. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
So much appreciate you listening to ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams. I'm in for our friend Steve Ryman. Steve will be back with you tomorrow. You've had a chance to talk with Steve. You talked to him last week.
Yes.
About some of this same referendum. And some of our listeners might be going, why is Carla on Monday again after we just heard from her last week? Well, I think it's because we think this is vitally important.
Yeah, it really is. And you know it's important when the churches say they too have had enough and they want to help. And we've got independent churches around the state. We've got Calvary Chapel has taken a big interest in this whole movement and are being very helpful in the whole situation. The Knights of Columbus, which is a Catholic organization, we are thrilled that they are taking a stand on these bills.
Well, and I will say this, and maybe some of my evangelical compadres won't like this, but I'm a native New Mexican. I've got a ton of amazing believe in Jesus Catholic friends, and they do wonderful things for children. Their families are solid. They, I'm teasing, but they have a bunch of children. who am I to say that? I have five kids, right? But the reason I say this is because I do think that a large portion of our state, especially Catholic Hispanics, a lot of them are part of the Democratic Party. But in many cases, a lot of those people are much more conservative than I am. And I don't think the so-called progressives actually realize that.
I agree. And I don't know that the average person that is registered in the Democratic Party understands that the platform for that party has changed to where it supports abortion and these other issues. I mean, it's actually part of the platform.
And by the way, just from a party standpoint, there are a lot of Republicans that are not barking too loud about any of this.
That's exactly right. That's why this is not a partisan issue. This is a parental rights issue, and it's a voter's issue, depending on what spectrum you're looking at. But it's critical for the state and for the people in our state.
And Carla, the whole referendum initiative is designed to take the decisions that you feel were made without most of our state's permission by a few, maybe 100 politicians that made these decisions without the voting public behind it. And you simply want these issues brought before the voting public.
That's right. We're just saying you didn't really listen to us during the process, but now we have an opportunity to get this on the ballot and then we have a say. And so that's what the referendum process is really about. It's in the state constitution and we're exercising the right to get these bills, which will be laws, put on the ballot in 2024.
I have maybe, I don't want to be arrogant, and I have a tendency to be that. I'm sorry, I apologize. But these are not just listeners, Jim, Carla, use your brain questions. These are questions that, beyond using your brain, also have to do with how you feel inside spiritually.
That's right.
These are some big questions.
And, you know, if you have listeners that are not spiritual, they're not believers, they still should be concerned about their rights as a parent or the concerned about their grandchild, because whether that doesn't tug at your heartstrings or not, it ought to tug at you as a parent alone. You brought that child into the world. You have a right to be involved in that child's life until they're 18 or emancipated.
Carla, do you think that God wants us involved in the political process?
I am absolutely sure of it. The Bible talks about that, and we know that the first governments were set up by our Lord, and we were asked to manage ourselves until he returns. Well, he's not back. So our form of management is to select the right person that is elected. And if you are the right person to be elected, that you should run for office. But this is our job and we need to take it seriously. It's very important. And I can tell you, I feel God's hand in this referendum process. He has opened so many doors. He has brought so many believers out of the woodwork. People that have never, ever gotten involved in this, they're saying, I have had enough. These people don't represent me. They don't represent my heart, my morals, my values, and I've had enough.
If you see a sign in the lobby or foyer of your church, or if you're part of the Knights of Columbus, you're going to see a Better Together table. What's on that table, and how do you involve yourself in this referendum process?
So it's a little complicated, but we've got people trained to help you with it. It's only complicated to get the information you need. You've got to look up your precinct number and know exactly how you're registered. Did you use a middle name, a middle initial, whatever? You've got to sign exactly as you're registered. You have to be a registered voter to sign the petition. They can help you with that, or you can register online anytime. So you need to be a voter in order to sign this petition. But here's the exciting thing. If we get 25%, the number of people that voted in the 2022 election, that's about 180,000 people. We get that many signatures, we can actually stop these bills from going into effect. Then they will be put on the ballot in 2024.
So how many people is that to sign?
180,000.
So if we have 180,000, that sounds kind of like a lot.
It's a lot.
That's close to 10% of our population in New Mexico.
And we've only got until June 16th to get that many.
So we've got to scramble. I just pulled my voter information card out of my wallet. And it's got my precinct number on it, which is 53, date of birth, identification number, all of this. If I brought this to the table, I could sign.
That would be perfect. Now, most people don't have that. And
right.
So if you go to the table or the kiosk where you're going to sign the petition, they will give you the link to take you directly to the Secretary of State's website, and you can look that up.
And if you're listening right now, go do that.
Yes.
Write it down. Write it down on a piece of paper, stick it in your purse or your wallet, and then you'll have it ready when it comes to signing the petition. Now, there's not a petition.
No.
There's basically five bills that you're trying to do a referendum on.
Yes, and each one is very critical. So we know it's going to take you a minute or two to sign your name, and there's very little room. They have made it as challenging as possible. Don't give in to that. Sign the petitions, all five of them. They're critical.
Okay. We're going to take another break and come back for a final segment with Carla Sontag, president and founder of the New Mexico Business Coalition. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
We're so glad you've joined us today on ABQ Connect. You know, we're trying as best we can. This is Jim Williams in for Steve Ryman. We are trying the best we can to give information to listeners. But what's heartbreaking is sometimes people don't do anything. And
right.
I'm with Carla Sontag, president, founder of New Mexico Business Coalition. Better Together New Mexico is an organization that was formed to handle more of the grassroots, if you will, bringing people together. So that's why these referendums, and I want to go through those really quickly again, Carla. You have your list there handy?
I do.
Okay, so let's go through the laws that you're trying to keep off the books. And
yes.
If you get it signed by, let's call it June 14th.
Right.
We got to have give you a couple extra days. But if we get this stuff signed by June 14th, you'll have enough to actually not allow these bills to go into effect.
That's right. Now, we've got a backup position.
Okay.
If we don't meet the 180,000 by that deadline, we can meet 80,000 by June of next year and get it on the ballot. Now, the problem is it goes into effect in the meantime.
Right.
So the question is, can we stop it from going into effect? But either way, our goal is to get it on the ballot and let the people decide. If you're not outraged listening to this, then you're not listening.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but at the same time, here's how I view our listeners. I value you and
yes.
your life. And I actually trust what God's doing in you, and I know that you have the capacity. No matter what your physical ability is or or no matter what your background is, no matter if you might be dealing with some depression or whether you're the most enthusiastic person on planet Earth, no matter what your station in life, God has things for you to do to minister and love other people. And so when you start reading about bills called reproductive and gender-affirming health care, that is such a paradoxical, it's a misnomer. These are, you can literally trust that whatever these bills are called, they intend the opposite.
Yes.
These bills don't affirm anyone's gender. They want you to change your life, make yourself unhealthy so that you can be controlled.
Yes, and allow children to do it. And if you're not a parent and you're not a grandparent, if you look at the rights that are being stripped away from parents, what's next? And that's why we've got to stand up now. And we've got to say, you can't take our rights away. As a parent, we have a right to raise our children, and we have a right to be involved in their life, and we have a right to know what's going on in their life, and we cannot be shielded from that and the child from us. It's not right. So if they can do that, what can they do next? And this is why we've got to come together and stand up and stop this.
And how much more scary is it when we have parents that are not involved in the lives of their kids? And their kids are going through these difficulties. They truly don't have someone to talk to. Yeah. So I'm hoping, I'm prayerful that this is a wake up call. This is, come on, guys, we got to come together as a community. We got to do some things. We got to trust what the Lord's going to do in us and through the body.
And we feel Him moving. We just need your help. We need you to get to a location and sign the bill. And you can find out on Better Together New Mexico. Spell out New Mexico the whole way, bettertogethernewmexico.org. Look at the referendum project, and you can find where you can go to sign the petitions.
Okay. And you mentioned, for example, I mean, we're on the campus right now of Calvary Church. We want KLYT Radio to be a tool for all the churches. We just happen to be located on the grounds of Calvary Church. But Calvary had you in their lobby last weekend, and people were coming by. Now, you have to sign a petition for each of the different bills.
That's right.
So, and by the way, I mean, you may, we're not going to berate you, but if you agree with one of these bills, you don't have to sign that petition.
Exactly.
But I would have a hard time believing that anyone's going to be in agreement with all five of these bills. I really can't even imagine that. Maybe there are people, so you don't have to worry about it. Your laws have already been passed. But those of us who disagree, we're not saying you should believe what we believe. We're simply saying we'd like to vote on it.
Yes, and you can go to the website and look at the referendum project. You can look at the bills. You can study the issues. You can understand it and then decide if you want to sign the petition or not.
So go over that with us one more time. So if you can get a certain number of signatures before June 16th, then these bills will be stopped from going into immediate effect.
Yes.
But they still have to be on the ballot.
Yes.
And so they'll be voted on. It's not like we're getting rid of anybody or telling anybody what to do. We just want the voters
to have a say.
To have a say.
Because they were not, it doesn't matter how you dress it up, they were not represented during the legislative session. If you have tens of thousands of emails and phone calls and hundreds of people testifying against these bills and they pass anyway, then you've got to stop and think, were my interests represented? And we would say no. And that's why we're saying, give the people a chance. If you think you represented them, then why not put it on the ballot? Let them come and vote on it. Then you can see if you represented them or not, because we think these would fail on a ballot.
And we think also that the energy of our listeners could help carry the day here.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got so many people coming together. This is absolutely a grassroots operation. Nobody's getting paid to do this. It's all done by volunteers, the most amazing people in the state of New Mexico working on this. And all you need to do is get your registration information. We can help you at the kiosk or the table where you go to sign the petition. But The bill will be there as well, so you can read it. We will give you all the information you need, but please take action. This is critical for the future of our state.
Carla, I remember during the COVID year, you were kind enough to I think we did the interview over the phone, mm-hmm. but we were talking about various things that were going on. And the governor shut everything down. A lot of businesses had to let their employees go.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of those businesses was paying unemployment insurance. You figured out, gee, let's not worry so much about what's going on, but we got to get back to work at some point. So we better make sure that we have unemployment insurance available to us, and that if we're shut down for several months, that the unemployment insurance rates are unaffordable for everybody. So you
right.
went to work and you protected New Mexicans, and you did some amazing things. And then the people in charge of the unemployment office did what they wanted anyway and violated mm-hmm. the law that you got passed. And those people are no longer with the state. Right?
That's right. We sent a very nice letter to the powers that be, including the governor, and said, you know, that law that was just passed and you signed, well, they're violating it and people are being charged way too much. So the person that was in charge, after also misappropriating $250 million that we also uncovered,
wow.
found a new job in another state. He left the state because he didn't want to stand up to charges.
Well, the bottom line is that you are accountable with everything you say. Everything mm-hmm. that we've said today, people can go on your website. They can research it. Better Together New Mexico, all spelled out, .org. You can go in and look at the referendum project. You can see great detail about each one of the bills and what they mean and what the implications are. And by the way, I would love for somebody to send us an email. You can call me at, or you can email me, jim@abqconnect.online. I'd love to hear if you're all for this and you think I'm doing the wrong thing, and you think Carla's all wet, you give us an email.
Please.
And I'll put it on the air, and we might debate it. We're not going to necessarily agree with you, but we'll give you some time. We'd like to hear about that. We just are in a position where we'd like to hear this feedback, but I don't actually think any of these positions are defensible. And that's why everything is postulated, so that nobody can give feedback, Carla.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that. You know, we've talked about our founding fathers, and if there's one or two things that the founding fathers did that I'm so impressed with, is that they set up accountability. The United States Constitution and the state constitutions that are modeled after it are designed to protect ourselves from ourselves.
Yes.
Aren't they?
Yes.
Because the wisdom of our founding fathers and founding mothers was to understand the nature of man. We're mm-hmm. sinful, we're selfish, we're self-centered. Our life with Christ teaches us how to love and care about others as more important than ourselves.
That's right.
And that's really all you're asking people to do, is to consider these referendums on each of these bills that you think are bad for New Mexico and bring it before the voting public.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll share one quick story. I recently spoke to a group and they told me when I came, they said, we're pretty liberal in our thinking about policy. I said, great, let's have a conversation. I'll tell you what I see happening in the state and I want your feedback. When I got to these bills and talked about them, I had several of them say, you have got to be kidding me. I said, I wish I were, but go to the website, go to the state's website, look up the bills and see if they don't say what I just said they said, and then see if you don't think that we ought to put that on a ballot so you can vote on it. And they said, yeah, and there was a lot of applause. So you got feedback. I want to hear you.
Yes. Carla Sontag, founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition. We prayed before the program for protection over you and your staff and all
yes.
your family members, because this is a spiritual battle.
Yes, it is. And I appreciate the prayers, because that's what keeps us going. God's hand of protection. And I just encourage your listeners to get involved and make a decision here.
And if you're listening, God has this for you and,
yes.
and wants you, and you're valuable in this process. Is one vote that valuable? One signature on a petition that
Absolutely.
Valuable?
Absolutely. It can make a difference. It can make or break the whole system. So please believe me when I say we need you.
Carla, I appreciate you being here. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.